A working-class kid with bad eyesight and a fear of heights becomes an astronaut. Sounds like a Hollywood script, right? But this isn't fiction. It's the story of someone who refused to accept that dreams have prerequisites. That moment in 1992, watching astronauts float across a television screen during the Oscars, crystallized everything. The childhood wonder sparked by Neil Armstrong's moonwalk, the years of unfulfilling work, the nagging sense that life was meant for something more. The math was simple yet profound. One in a million isn't zero. It's 0.00001. A tiny number, but not nothing. The only true zero comes from giving up entirely. What followed was a decade-long odyssey through rejection, medical disqualification, and self-doubt. When NASA stamped disqualified on that first application due to poor vision, most would have walked away. Instead, this became an engineering problem to solve. 7 months of eye exercises, staring at marbles, focusing on distant charts, wearing undercorrected glasses, transformed what seemed like an insurmountable biological limitation into a challenge that could be overcome through sheer persistence. Success isn't reserved for those who never fail. It belongs to those who refuse to let failure be final. Imagine discovering you can't swim after being accepted into NASA's astronaut program. The welcome packet outlined a daunting swim test, survival strokes, drown-proofing, and treading water in full flight gear. But NASA's culture shone through. We don't want to leave the pool until everyone passes. Strong swimmers like Navy diver Heidi Piper spent weekends coaching struggling classmates. Everyone passed. Years later, during the Hubble repair mission, when a low-gain antenna was accidentally damaged, the entire crew owned the mistake collectively. What made NASA extraordinary wasn't the technology, it was the culture of shared responsibility. This culture empowered rookies to challenge veterans when safety demanded it. Drew Fustel, a rookie astronaut, revolutionized a dangerous Hubble repair procedure by proposing a pick-stick tool inspired by his children's toy. Despite skepticism, the team implemented his superior approach. Fresh eyes often spot what familiarity obscures. The Challenger explosion, the 2008 financial crisis, countless workplace accidents, many stem from cultures where people knew something was wrong but stayed silent. Find teammates whose strengths balance your weaknesses and share your talents freely. Launch day arrived with Columbia surrounded by vapor clouds and otherworldly noises screaming danger. 6 years of training felt inadequate as self-doubt whispered, "You're not ready." Then came the crucial realization. NASA wouldn't send unprepared people to space. Spaceflight is an open book test. You don't need to memorize everything. Just know how to find answers and ask for help. This crystallized into the three trusts. Trust your training. Trust your gear, trust your team. Training becomes trustworthy through repetition and rigor. Gear becomes trustworthy through understanding its creation. Watching a technician meticulously apply epoxy to a rocket motor joint revealed the extraordinary care embedded in every component. Ultimately, trusting training and equipment depends entirely on trusting people who prepared you. Trust isn't blind faith. It's earned through relationships and verified through communication. Even after the Columbia disaster in 2003, NASA chose transparency over cover-up, rebuilding trust stronger than before. As one mentor said, "It might be somebody else's job to make sure things work, but it's your rear end on that rocket ship." Trust means active engagement, asking questions, and verifying without interpreting inquiry as doubt. Panic amplifies problems. During spacewalk training, a minor equipment glitch became a disaster through frantic movements. This created Hoot's Law, named after astronaut Hoot Gibson, stating that hasty actions worsen bad situations. The solution? Go slow to go fast. Master mechanic Joe LaPiccolo embodied this through patient, methodical work that consistently beat rushed fixes. During mission STS-109, when John Grunsfeld's spacesuit malfunctioned hours before a critical Hubble spacewalk, the crew resisted panic. They methodically extracted him, diagnosed the problem, and reconfigured a new suit with verified steps. the spacewalk proceeded safely and finished early. The ultimate test came during my Hubble spacewalk when I stripped a crucial screw on a handrail. Instinct screamed, "Fix it now!" Instead, I stopped, reported the problem, and worked with the team to develop a solution. Whether 350 miles above Earth or fixing a leaky faucet, the principle holds. Take a breath, slow down, and remember that hasty reactions compound problems rather than solve them. During a spacewalk, I stripped a screw on the Hubble Space Telescope's handrail, potentially dooming our mission. Years of training, billions of dollars, humanity's window into the cosmos, all jeopardized by one mistake. Instead of spiraling into paralysis, I used the 30-second rule. Give yourself 30 seconds of regret, feel it fully, then move on. I looked at Earth, set a mental timer, let the self-criticism flow, then refocused. We developed a solution and completed the mission. Most people either deny mistakes or dwell endlessly on them. The 30-second rule offers a third path. Acknowledge the error, feel the emotion, then re-engage. Made a mistake at work? 30 seconds. Said something hurtful? Apologize. Give yourself 30 seconds, then focus on doing better. Mistakes are inevitable. What matters is your response. Give yourself permission to be human, to feel the sting of failure, but don't let that feeling become your identity. Set the timer, feel it, then let it go. After the Columbia disaster, three astronauts were stranded on the International Space Station. As their CAPCOM, I became their lifeline, checking in frequently, visiting families, helping with maintenance, anything to remind them they weren't alone. Later, when I broke that Hubble handrail, Dan Burbank became my CAPCOM. Mission Control was problem-solving frantically, but Dan never let me feel his panic. He was my Houston when I needed it most. We all need a Houston, someone we can call when we're adrift, someone who won't judge but will help navigate us home. And we need to be that person for others. When someone reaches out, prioritize them, reassure them they're not alone. Being someone's lifeline isn't about having answers, it's about showing up. Loneliness amplifies every struggle. Having someone in your corner makes the impossible feel manageable. Identify your people and be that person for others. We all float in space sometimes, and we all need someone to guide us home. Space reveals a fundamental truth. We're all on one fragile planet spinning through an incomprehensibly vast universe. Hubble's images, like the Omega Centauri cluster containing 10 million stars across 150 light years, offer humbling perspective. Being an astronaut meant extraordinary experiences, but also late nights studying, missed holidays, and real risks. As John Young corrected, he didn't walk on the moon, he worked there. Hours of simulators and technical meetings preceded those historic steps. Alan Bean, the fourth person on the moon, later became an artist painting lunar scenes with actual moon dust. His wisdom resonates. The secret to life is to discover what you love and then figure out a way to earn a living at it. When work frustrates you, visualize the universe's vastness, 93 billion light years, to remember the big picture. You might feel small, but you're also a miracle. The atoms in your body were forged in ancient stars billions of years ago. You're literally made of stardust, a child of the cosmos. That's too precious to waste on cynicism or resignation. Find what makes you feel alive and pursue it. Your time here is brief but meaningful.